Now, it's our privilege to have Reverend Bob Smith come on up, or come on across.
I feel like this is a magic act or something. Morning. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 1. It's Romans chapter 6, verse 1. Let's read God's word. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who have sinned live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many as you were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to once and for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we're so thankful for your word. And Lord, I just ask you this morning that you'd open our hearts and minds. And Lord, you teach us through your word, through your Holy Spirit. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, last week I was here and we talked about the new you. And the new you is who you are now because Christ is living with you now. It's something you didn't have before. We're a new creation in Christ. We didn't have his spirit. And so this is the new you in Christ. And so as we experience the new you in Christ, we have a newfound freedom. And it's one of the greatest things that you'll ever discover in Christ is the fact that you are now free. So I think we all want to be free. I mean, we live in a state that has a motto, live free or die. We all want to be debt free. I don't know about you, but I would like to be debt free. How about that? We all want to be free from guilt, really free from responsibility, free from illness. Many people we heard were sick this morning. Many people want to be just freed up from the work they have to do daily. People want to be tax-free, sugar-free, and fat-free. We all want to experience freedom in some way or another. And there's no greater freedom we can ever have than the freedom we get through Christ. But there's one thing that you have to know first. And there's going to be a lot of knowing. You're going to have to know some things this morning. If you really want to be free, you're going to have to know, and you're going to have to know this. You're going to have to know, are you dead or alive? And in order to really experience that freedom, you really have to know if you're dead or alive. So we'll have a little test here. If you are dead, will you please raise your hand? Anybody? Thank you for that. And so if you're alive, please raise your hand. That's good. Some undecided. That's okay. I don't mind that. Right on the edge. So one of the greatest experience that we can realize in Christ is found in those first couple verses. So let's read them together. We'll read verses 1 and 2. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Now think about this concept. If the Bible's saying we're dead to sin, right? And Paul's raises a very good question here, which basically says, shall we let grace just keep abounding and abounding? In the previous chapter, he talked about how great God's grace was, how it just abounded over sin. So in order for God's grace to just keep abounding and abounding, shall we keep sinning? He says, certainly not. But he gives this very, very fact that you need to know something about yourself. When you experience the new in you in Christ, when you believe that Jesus came and died on the cross, there's a fact that happened, and this is one of those facts that you just need to know. If you want to live out your freedom in Christ, you have to know this. You have to know you're dead. Now, somebody raised their hand, maybe a few, that said, when you're dead. But really, what you need to realize when you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, you actually became dead you came dead to sin. You know, I worked on this S a lot. I replaced this whole half of the board. It was ugly. Every time I've done this board, this S becomes uglier and uglier and uglier. If you were able to peel this back, there's two more sheets of paper under this section where I just cut out the S. Because for some reason, that's just how sin is, right? It's just ugly. And the fact is, to know that you're dead to sin, he says, why should we continue in sin? Just think about that for a minute. What exactly is sin? Sin is not pleasing to God. And Paul's argument here is is warranted. He says, look, if we're dead to sin, then why would we continue to sin? It's a spiritual truth to the fact, and I love this, I heard it in a sermon, this is one of the things I discovered early on in my Christian life, and I'm sure you have too. The fact of the matter is, when you accepted the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, you believe that he came and died on the cross and rose again on the third day. There's something that you are free from. You are free from the penalty of sin. Man, wasn't that a great celebration? When you accepted the Lord Jesus and believed that he came and died on the cross for your sins, and that whole weight of your, all the sins you've ever committed in the past, all the sins you've committed in the present, all the sins that you'll commit in the future, the penalty of sin was wiped out. It was cast into the sea of God's forgetfulness, never to be pulled up again, never to be put in front of you again. And Paul's thing here is saying, look, I was a Christian for a long time. And over again, I kind of was at the first part of this. Shall we continue in sin so grace can abound? Now, I didn't think of it that way, but I found myself sinning, asking God for forgiveness, which the Bible says he's faithful and just to forgive us from all sins if we confess our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's a normal part of our Christian life. We understand it. But I knew there was something missing. There was some truth that I was just missing. Because I was like, how do I find myself in the same place all the time? Why does it keep coming back? Why do I have to keep experiencing this? And I did a Bible study, and it was interesting because there was like 6 or 7 people in the Bible study, and we did the book of Romans. And it was pretty fun because the pastor had you pick a number out of the hat of the chapters in Romans. And guess what chapter I picked? This one. Right? And he said, well, you're on the sixth week, you're just going to do a small presentation about chapter 6. And so I did. I looked into it and I studied and I wanted to know what I was talking about. But in the midst of that study, I discovered a very, very true spiritual fact. If you are in Christ, you're dead to sin. And the best part about it is, I like the fact that we're dead to sin, but from our text it says this. Look at verse 3. Here's the knowing part. Didn't you know that as many of you were baptized into Jesus Christ, you were baptized into his death. Therefore, we were baptized with him through baptism into death. The reality is, I want to explain just for a minute. When you were baptized into Christ's death, when you received the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, and you were baptized into him, something happened to you. We talked about it last week. It's a metamorphosis. But I want to explain it in a different way, and it's from a pickle recipe. I hope you like pickles. If you don't, I hope you like cucumbers, because we're going to have both. So it's from a writer in 200 BC. His name was Nicander, and he wrote a small recipe using the word baptism, because he said in order to turn a cucumber into a pickle, then you had to dip it. You had to dip it in hot water, right? And the word he uses there is the word bapto. It means to dip. And guess what? It doesn't make a permanent change. It only makes a change to the outside because it's dipping. Now, when you were baptized into Christ, he uses another word, which is baptizo. And what happens when you were baptizoed into Christ? You were immersed. And in this verse, it said, look at it again, verse 3. Do you not know? As many of you that were baptized or immersed into Christ were baptized into his death. Now look, the change that make is a permanent change. That cucumber will never, ever, ever, ever be able to be a cucumber. Because when it is put in the solution, it's fully immersed. It goes through a complete change. Now, if you pull it out, it kind of looks like a cucumber. Do you kind of look the same? I think we do. But there's a spiritual truth that every Christian needs to know, that there is a change that happens to you in your life, that when you are fully immersed into Christ, you are changed from the inside out. Amen? I mean, I love it. When I found this out, I mean, I got in that classroom and I felt like being born again, which I know I can't, but I was like, wow, like I am free. Like I experienced a freedom that I've never felt before. Now I finally looked at sin and I'm like, man, I'm not this guy. I'm over here. I'm totally immersed in Christ. So I want to just take just a moment. We'll read the rest of that verse. And I want you to understand this. It says, verse 3, don't you know that as many of you were baptized or totally immersed into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism. Get it? Dead and buried. Dead and buried. Dead and buried. Dead and buried. Now, anything that's dead and buried is not alive. It's dead. The fact is, when you accepted Christ, you're dead to sin. Let's look at one more thing. So, we're dead and buried through our baptism through Christ. We know we're fully immersed in Christ. It's created a change. Now, I want you to know this about yourself, too. We're going to go down a few more verses here. And we're going to go down to verse 6. Verse 6. And it's another knowing thing. If you see it in your Bible there, it says, know this. And it's the third time in this chapter it says, don't you know? Know this, and it'll say it later, it'll know that. But here it says, know this, that your old man, and that means your old self, the one that used to be sinning and couldn't do anything about it. You didn't have the Lord Jesus to guide you and strengthen you and be with you. You know, we'll never be tempted beyond what we can endure. That's what the Bible says. So the fact of the matter is, when you know this, it completes a whole new change. And knowing that the old man, in verse 6, was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with it, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has been set free, and now, if we died with Christ, we believe we should also live with him. But I find a lot of times, even now in our Christian lives, we kind of live like that. So there was a lady, and she had a dog, and her dog just kept going in the neighbor's yard. Get in the neighbor's yard, they're always in trouble, your neighbor's always coming over, your dog's in my yard again, I know, she'd bring it back in. And she had finally kind of got things in order, you know, kind of keep the dog in order. And one day, she's standing at the kitchen sink, and she looks outside, and there's the dog out in the yard with the neighbor's rabbit in his mouth. And he's throwing them around. And his rabbit is dead. The neighbor's rabbit's dead. The lady panics. She runs outside with her broom, scoots the dog away, grabs the rabbit, looks at the rabbit, yep, rabbit's dead. Brings the rabbit inside, throws the rabbit in the tub, and begins to wash the rabbit off. Takes out the hairdryer, blows the rabbit off. Takes the rabbit, sneaks over into the neighbor's yard, opens up the cage, and puts the rabbit in, closes the door, and goes back to her house. Later that night, she hears a loud scream. She goes outside, and she finds the neighbor at their cage. And they're going, "My rabbit! My rabbit!" And she goes, "Oh, what's wrong? What happened to your rabbit?" "My rabbit's dead." "Oh my goodness, your rabbit's dead?" "Yes, but you don't understand. My rabbit's dead." "Yes, your rabbit's dead?" "Yes, he's dead, but you don't understand. We buried this rabbit in our backyard 2 days ago, and here he is back in our cage." You know what the reality of that is? Now, how often is that something we're going to do with our own lives? The fact is, the dead things should just stay dead. There'd probably be a better way to handle that. The reality is, we're dead to sin. We may be dead to sin. This is the next spiritual truth. The reality is, from what Paul's saying, we're dead to sin. Sin doesn't have dominion over us. It can't tell me what to do. I love that. You know why? This is why. When Jesus saved you, you were saved from the power of penalty of sin, but you are also saved from the power of sin. You know what? Sometimes I used to think of it this way. I used to think that for some reason there was a sin collar on me. And sin would pull and pull, and every once that old dog just came running. But when I realized after this that I was dead to sin and alive to God, I'd have to put on that collar. Matter of fact, I might have to even dig it up, because where is it? It's dead and buried, right? I didn't have to play around with that collar anymore. I said, "Yeah, that's that old collar. I know what that is. That's sin. You don't have dominion over me. I'm dead to sin. I'm alive to God." And one of the very special spiritual truths that you'll want to know, and if you can, you'll want to write it down, is this. You're dead to sin, alive to God. You're free. You're really free from sin. Sin doesn't have dominion over you. So you need to know you're dead to sin. That's great. But you're also alive to God with Christ. And I want you to know that it's something that you don't have to just wonder about. It's in verse 11. It says, "Likewise, you also reckon yourselves reckon yourselves to be dead to sin and alive to God. Now this is an accounting term. The word reckon here is not a country western saying. Okay? That's what it is in my Bible. Maybe it says something, maybe it says believe in your Bible. But in my Bible it says reckon. So likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God. That word reckon means you can count on it. If you have a bank account and you have $25 in it, it doesn't matter what you feel about it. It's 25 bucks. It doesn't matter if you think it's 15. It doesn't matter if you think it's zero. It doesn't matter if you think it's a million. Feelings are fickle, but faith is sure. It's rock solid assurance. And that's what he's telling us here. This is a spiritual truth that you can put in, and you may be too far away to see this because I couldn't see it from the back, but it is something you can put in the bank. I have a little piggy bank up there. It's something that you can put in your spiritual bank. It's something that you can bank on. It's something that you can have a rock solid assurance about. It's not how you feel. It's not what sin does to us on a daily basis, how it tempts us. It's a spiritual truth that you can put everything that you have into. When he said, you are indeed dead to sin, then you are. It doesn't matter how you feel about it. The reality is, when Jesus made a permanent change in you and changed your whole life, when you said, I believe you, God, that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross. I believe that he died and he rose again. And he paid the price for my sins. I'm going to put my trust in you. He forgave you from the penalty of sin, but he also gave you a special thing. It's now you're free from the power of sin. Sin no longer has dominion over you. It can't control you. It can't do anything with you. But before, there was nothing you could do. You're just kind of just living in the world. You're just going along with the regular flow. You didn't have Christ guiding you and strengthening you all through your life. So now, we're going to have another quick little test. Like we had earlier, I asked you if you were dead or alive, but I have some things I'd like to show you here. And you may recognize these people. And I think this is going to be pretty obvious. I hope so. I hope you can see it from the back. But who's this guy? Thank you. That's why I didn't draw him, because somebody told me it was Jefferson. So I didn't want a mixed crowd. I printed it. So let me ask you, George Washington, dead or alive? Come on. Okay. Yeah, good. What about Abraham Lincoln, dead or alive? Okay. No problem. What about these guys? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, dead or alive? Dead or alive? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Where are they? Okay. Now I'm going to attempt to draw one more person. You will recognize them right away. It's somebody that's very familiar to each one of us. There's no way you're not going to know who it is. I'm going to risk all and draw this one last person. And the question is, who is it? Starting to recognize him? Can you see who it is? See who it is? Recognize who it is? See it? Everybody can see it? Recognize it? I can see it. Let me ask you this question. What about you? Are you living out your oneness in Christ? Are you truly dead to sin? The Bible says you are. And alive to God. And we can reckon on it. It's a rock solid assurance. And I'm so glad it is. And I love preaching this. You know why? Because it's going to carry me through this next week. And every week after that. I love returning to this passage. It's a biblical truth that should stick with you. It's just something we have in Christ. And it's such a beautiful thing. Because now we can finally experience your own freedom. So as you ask this own question to yourself, are you immersed in Christ? Have you accepted him as your personal Savior? You believe that God sent his Son to die on the cross. He rose again. And he did that to free us from the penalty of sin. Man, he loves us. And I love the fact that he freed me from the power of sin. He gave me so much freedom. So that's the question this morning. How about you, dead or alive? Let's pray.